Hi, this is Christopher O'Reilly, host of From the Top. Thank you for tuning into this week's podcast. While this podcast is free for all of you, it actually costs our little nonprofit some significant resources to purchase rights for all this fabulous music. Please consider making a small gift to From the Top and keep us broadcasting loud and clear. Go to fromthetop.org and click on Support.
What's it like to solo with a major American orchestra when both your parents are members of that orchestra sitting right behind you? Well, today we'll hear all about that when we meet an outstanding 17-year-old violinist. From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. We're at Betra Concert Hall in Denver, where our teenagers will play with the Great Colorado Symphony, and the Colorado Children's Chorale will sing the music of Randall Thompson. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. Here's our host, the great concert pianist, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thank you and welcome, everybody. It's fantastic to be doing a show with the Colorado Symphony, and we want to thank them for bringing us here to Denver. And while the airport was mobbed by skiers and the Rocky Mountain peaks are in view, today's show celebrates Colorado kids who happen to study classical music when they're not on the slopes. All of the kids on today's show are from the Denver area. We've got the violinist and choir Joanne mentioned, but also a terrific teenage organist who will join this fantastic orchestra for the killer finale of the Saint-Saëns Organ Symphony. And on top of that, we love to celebrate the alums of our show who've gone on to do great things. One of those alums, Kolio Plotchkov, is the associate principal horn of the Colorado Symphony. He's going to join me later on, along with the concertmaster of the orchestra, Yumi Huang Williams, for a rendition of the scherzo from the Brahms Horn Trio. Let's get things started by saying hello to the man who's going to conduct today's proceedings, the resident conductor of the Colorado Symphony, Scott O'Neill. Scott, thanks for your tremendous help in putting today's program together.
Our pleasure. Glad to have you here.
Great. And let's meet our first soloist from here in Denver, 17-year-old violinist Emily Switzer. Welcome, Emily. Scott, Joanne mentioned that both of Emily's parents are members of the Colorado Symphony, sitting in the orchestra right now, so you know them, but had you met Emily before we started rehearsals for this show?
Actually, yes. I used to be the music director for the Denver Young Artist Orchestra, and she was one of our concert masters and even played a concerto with the orchestra, so we're pretty familiar with each other.
You know how good she is.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Emily, what's it like to be playing with your parents behind you in the orchestra?
It's really exciting. It's a little unusual, I guess, but it's nice to know that they're there watching my every move.
Good attitude. Very good. Emily, tell everybody what you're going to play.
I will be playing Zagornaweisen by Pablo de Sarasate.
Okay. Emily, Maestro O'Neill, when you're ready, please take it from the top.
Thank you.
Switzer, 17 years old, our violinist from here in Denver, performing Zugrunerweisung by Pablo de Sarasate with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Scott O'Neill. Well, gosh, Emily, we've heard that piece a number of times. I'm happy to say that's got to be the new gold standard as far as I'm concerned. That was just gorgeous. We mentioned before Emily performed about the fact not just one, but both of her parents are musicians in the Colorado Symphony. Her dad, Matthew Switzer, is a cellist, and her mom, Marcia Holmes, is a violist. Because we'd like to hear more about the life of an orchestra family, we've asked dad and mom to join Emily and me at the mics. Welcome, Marcia, Matt.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Was it hard for you two to concentrate on your own parts while your daughter was the soloist?
It was very difficult to concentrate tonight, actually. A lot more difficult than usual. Fortunately, the cello part is not all that difficult, but it was still very hard to play and get the part right while she's playing, because I'm listening all the
exactly,
time.
Exactly, yes.
So, very difficult.
Marcia, how do you feel? Relieved?
Good thing the viola part's easy, too.
Right. Emily, while this is the first time you've played in front of your parents as a soloist in the orchestra, you do play with them all the time. You guys have a quartet together?
Yes, we have a family quartet. My sister plays violin, so my sister and I play violin, and then we've got a violist and cellist. And we play fairly frequently. We've done some gigs around town, and it's a lot of fun.
It's very hard, though, for string quartets to get along. I mean, psychological problems, never mind what it's like when it's all in the family. But it seems to work for you guys. I hear there's quite a bit of good-natured teasing about your respective roles. How would you put that, Emily?
Well, teasing, yes, and a lot of disagreement about whose artistic direction we are all going to listen to.
There's no disagreement. Really? There's no disagreement at all.
Yeah, that's what you think.
So he's leading from the cello. Why do you suppose?
Well, not only is the cello the biggest instrument in a string quartet, he also doesn't have to hold it under his chin the entire time.
Oh, that's
so
right.
He can talk instead.
That's right. We have pianists and cellists have that in common. You know,
this is true, but for cellists it's even worse because we just get to play the bass line most of the time. So we're always thinking of something else.
A lot of free time. Tell everybody else how to do their job. Right.
Exactly.
Well, Matt, you said that even though you know you shouldn't, it's sometimes hard to hold yourself back when you have something to say about Emily's playing. I mean, so for instance, she's practicing in the house and you hear something and...
Well, you know, if there's something that the time that we actually do chime in a lot is when they're preparing an orchestral audition. As you know, she's concertmaster of the Denver Young Artists Orchestra, and they have auditions fairly regularly. So we know all the excerpts backwards and forwards. So when they're playing something and we hear a wrong note, we have to tell them immediately. So they can't practice it wrong, you see. Yeah. So, but usually it's met with, I know.
Oh, yes.
So
Emily, are you waiting for the perennial knock on the door and then you cut them off? And...
Always. Oh. Yeah. The interruptions, although helpful, are not always welcome.
That's right.
Really?
Marcia, there must be logistical challenges to raising a child when both parents are in an orchestra.
Well, I think the biggest challenge, especially when they're young, is that most of our work is at night. So from a very young age, Emily and her sister got used to seeing lots of babysitters. So, and many times they were students of ours, so that was kind of fun too, but... thanks to some grandparents.
You selected students on the basis of
whether they could babysit, had cars,
and could drive,
And if they have a car, it's really great.
Obviously, Emily is now years beyond the babysitting stage, and she's emerging as quite the fine musician. Marcia, what would you say has been one of the most gratifying things for you watching your daughter's musical development?
It's been very nice to see her develop as a performer from the time she was 7 or 8 years old, playing at Suzuki Institutes up through a program like this where she gets to play with our orchestra. So it's just really fun and rewarding to see your child able to succeed like that.
Well, it's extraordinary to see the fruits of all your labors in this wonderful performance and this great blossoming young musician. And you must be very, very proud. As we are, Emily, it's been great having you on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, and best of luck to you. Emily Switzer, 17 years old, from here in Denver, along with her parents, Matt and Marcia, both musicians in the Colorado Symphony.
You can see photos of Emily and her parents sharing the From the Top stage at our website. Go to fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Ken Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Performing next with the Colorado Symphony is one of Colorado's leading youth arts organizations, the Colorado Children's Chorale. Their artistic director, Deborah DeSantis, is at the mics. Deborah, how many singers do we have perched in the choir loft behind us, ready to sing? What is the age range of the group?
Behind us this evening, we have our tour choir. We have 70 members. Our tour choir is our top ensemble. We have about 400 others, a little younger than them. They start in second grade. These young ladies and gentlemen are between the ages of 10 and 14.
Very good. And tell us what we're going to hear.
We're going to hear tonight Randall Thompson, the second movement from his The Place of the Blessed, The Pelican.
The Pelican is a wonderful Christian allegory. We have text by Richard Wilbur. Again, Scott O'Neill is at the podium. Please.
Pelican use is the word for a certain breed of bird who truly is a crane. Egypt is his domain. There are two kinds thereof, near to the Nile they live. One of them dwells in the flood, the fishes are his food. The other
Colorado Children's Chorale with the Colorado Symphony performing The Pelican from The Place of the Blessed by Randall Thompson. Scott O'Neill conducted. From the chorale now, I have three young singers joining us. Two of them are from the Denver metropolitan area, Aslan Rockley and Matthew Bredo, ages 12 and 13, respectively, and Sydney Stewart, age 13, is from a very small mountain town just under an hour away called Evergreen. Sydney, this chorale sings with the Colorado Symphony each year, isn't that correct?
Yes. In fact, every year we do a concert with the Colorado Symphony near Christmas time, which is also with the Colorado Symphony Chorus. And then through the season, we do whatever they need us to do. For example, last year, we performed the Mahler Third Symphony with them.
Wow, big pieces. Must be a little difficult adjusting to, being behind the orchestra up in the choir loft, and you have your artistic director, but she's not conducting the orchestra. What's it like getting used to all that?
It is difficult because everybody has their different way of conducting different things. And usually we're very far away from the conductor, so their baton looks so small, like a piece of spaghetti almost. And it's also hard because our conductors give us a lot of cues and everything, but with the orchestra and symphony, there's a lot of moving parts, so we kind of have to know what we're doing on our own, but we learn to do that, so it's gotten easier.
That's exactly. Well, luckily for you, I think Scott has sort of a whole wheat fettuccine baton, I think. Very high end. Well, the whole chorale seemed intensely focused and locked in just now, and you told that story. I mean, that beautiful Richard Wilbur poem is just magnificent. Matthew, is that sort of discipline something that Deborah emphasizes in training?
Yes, the choir pays a lot of attention to teaching us how to respect others and to introduce ourselves and how to behave. They teach us a lot of life lessons, as our director likes to call them. So they teach us how to behave in other places and just,
be a good citizen, really.
Yes.
And quite an elegant one, too. Here you are in your white tie and tails. That's really magnificent to see you all up there like that. Aslan, you told us that learning discipline wasn't all that easy for you.
It never was. When I was in the younger choirs and preparatory apprentice choir, I was very energetic and I would never stop talking. So every 5 or 6 minutes, I was constantly having to stand in the back of the room. I didn't figure out why until I made it to about my last year of concert choir. Then I figured out why and I mostly stopped.
Really? Started. You're a good citizen now.
Thank you.
That's all we need to know. Well, you're going to need all of your discipline and focus right now because it's time for a little competition between you young chorus kids and three wise and wizened members of the Colorado Symphony. Yes, it's time for another round of that fabulous game, Old Fogies versus Young Whippersnappers. Yes, indeed. And we've invited those three old fogey volunteers from the orchestra to the mics. We've got them wheeled out here now. And will you please introduce yourselves and tell us what you all play?
I'm Char Campbell, and I play the viola.
I'm Bill Hill, and I'm the timpanist.
I'm Susan Bowles, and I play the cello.
Okay, this is how it's going to work. We're going to ask you old fogies questions pertaining to the pop culture of today. And we're going to ask you young whippersnappers questions pertaining to the pop culture of back when our old folkies were teens, like you. You know, like 100 years ago. About the age before beauty, we're going to start with the old folks. Can you hear me over there, guys?
What? Hey.
Okay. Go ahead, Joanne.
Okay. Our first category is music. Now, old fogies, please listen to this jaunty tune.
You don't know your beauty.
Now, what is the name of that boy band? Is it A, One Direction, B, Two Directions, C, No Direction, or D, Direction Direction?
One Direction?
It's a good guess.
Is that a good guess?
That sounds like a good guess.
Okay, we're going to go with, I guess that's A. Is that A?
One Direction. Very good, old fogies.
Oh!
Liam is my favorite, but I think Harry is the cutest, definitely.
Okay, now for you young whippersnappers, we're going to play a clip of one of the most colossally popular tunes of the 1970s. Listen closely and see if you know the lyrics that follow this excerpt.
Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. Trying to forget my...
Are the next lyrics A, sweet turtle dove, B, feelings of love, or C, brown leather glove?
Let's go with B.
B.
Hey, feelings of love. I'm feeling a little nauseous here, Joanne.
Okay, well, now we're moving into celebrity gossip. This is for the fogies. Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart, are they on or off? A, on but not getting married. B, on and getting married this June. Or C, hello, she cheated on him. They are so not on.
It's gotta be C.
I would, under normal circumstances, agree with you, but it is A. They are
on.
They're not getting married. We're talking,
yeah,
of course, about Rob and Kristen, co-stars of the Twilight movies, not Twilight Zone, you guys. Okay.
We're so forgetful.
We saw them necking last week.
She actually did cheat on last year, and then, this is so intense and awkward, she asked for his forgiveness publicly.
I remember that.
And don't worry, it changes week to week, so don't feel bad.
That's what we thought.
All right, this is for the young'uns. One of the most famous actors in ancient times was the controversial Jane Fonda. She was everything from a sex symbol to a really fine actor to a political activist to an exercise video goddess. Her most recent husband was the billionaire founder of CNN, Ted Turner. After divorcing him, she said, A, he has the spiritual life of a mole. B, I see him making eyes at Anderson Cooper and it drives me crazy. Or C, Ted Turner needs someone to be there 100% of the time. He thinks that's love. It's not love. It's babysitting.
I have no idea. There's no way. Let's
just go with C.
Okay. We're going to go with C.
Because you recognize the babysitting thing. Yes, I think, yeah. Absolutely. Very good. Okay, Joanne, so you were keeping score, hopefully.
I was.
Who won?
The winners are the young whippersnappers.
Thank you all for playing our game. And remember, it's not how old you are, it's how young you feel.
For anyone convinced that classical music is dead, Nick Romeo's book Driven is refreshing proof to the contrary, says the New York Phil's Glenn Dichterow. Follow six From the Top alums as they make their way in the music world. Pick it up at fromthetop.org/driven.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from U.S. Trust, believing that the arts have a worth all their own in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians. From the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, committed to helping Americans lead healthier lives and get the care they need, on the web at rwjf.org. And from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.
Thank you.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from Betcher Concert Hall in Denver, Colorado, where all show long, we're featuring the Colorado Symphony. Coming up, an outstanding 17-year-old organist from Arvada, Colorado, joins the orchestra to perform the final movement of the Saint-Saëns Symphony No. 3, the Organ Symphony. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. Today's show in Denver is made possible with support from Arrow Electronics. Special thanks to Colorado Public Radio. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Sitting back in the horn section of the Colorado Symphony is an alum of From the Top, and when we heard that he'd found a home here, we thought it would be great to reconnect, to talk about his experience auditioning for and joining a major American orchestra, and to play some chamber music together. Please welcome the now 25-year-old Kolio Plotchkov. Kolio, you were on the show when you were 17, and we asked what you remembered from that experience. You made us laugh because you said that mostly you remembered stressing out. I think we should get the whole story from you.
Yes, I was a 17-year-old teenager. You know, I had just gone to California from my hometown in Bulgaria, Plovdiv. And I had gone to the academy for about 2 years at the time. It's an arts academy in Southern California. Where I found out that I was invited to play at From the Top, one of the greatest American radio programs for young artists, and I was going to perform with Christopher O'Reilly. So I said, this is a great opportunity. I can't wait to do it. I learned the piece really well. And then I started, I realized that, you know, I was getting hooked up pretty good with a hotel with 4 stars. There was a pool. There was a ginormous TV. So I started packing, and you know, I got my swimming suit. I got my PlayStation. I got everything. And as soon as I'm unloading all my stuff from the car on the airport, my chaperone at the time, because I was 17, he said, "Kolio, where's your French horn?" So the stress began then, and carried all the way until I came to you, and then you guys said, anything exciting, any good stories you guys have to tell, and I said that you were not happy about that.
I was not happy.
Yeah, that was...
Mostly because I didn't get to play on your PlayStation.
Should have brought that in.
You've been in this country for a long time, first at the Idlewild Arts Academy, then at Juilliard, then at Rice, and now here you are in Denver. You must miss your family back in Bulgaria, yes?
Yeah, definitely. I came to the country when I was 14 and a half, and it's been about 10 and a half years now that I've been here. I've gone home a few times over the years, and, you know, when you're 14, 15, 16, it's really great. You get all the time to yourself. There's nobody that tells you what to do, and I had an amazing time, but now as the years pass by, I definitely have an empty space for my family in my heart where I, you know, if I have the choice to do it all over again, I would really love to spend some more time with them.
For a long time, we've thought that Bulgaria was just a next-door neighbor to the Idlewild Academy. We've had so many great musicians from there. Or maybe there's a tunnel or something. I don't know. But we're very, very glad you're here. I know your mom and dad have never traveled outside of Bulgaria. Do they have any sense of what your life is like here?
Not really. In Bulgaria, it's different. You know, when you have to travel 80 miles away to go see grandparents or something, you know, you plan for months. And in this country, you can go 80 miles and teach at a place or have a job at a different place where the distances are kind of, very, very different.
I'm sure it would be amazing if your mom could see you play in this orchestra. Are you going to try and make that happen sometime?
Yeah, definitely. It's been on the horizon. I think that at some point soon they will be coming and visiting and hearing me play. The last time they heard me play, I believe I was in sixth grade. So that would be something that has to happen at some point soon.
We're going to talk more about your experiences auditioning for and joining the Colorado Symphony in a moment. But first, I get to join you at the piano to take on the epic scherzo from the Brahms Horn Trio. But to play it, we need also a violinist. And luckily for us, we have the concertmaster of the Colorado Symphony, Yumi Huang Williams, joining us. Please welcome her. Yumi, it's really great to see you again.
Well, it's great to see you again, Chris.
We've played together very, very often back in the Marinalsop years, and actually, not only with the orchestra, but we've played some chamber music together before.
Yes, we did the wonderful Copland Violin Sonata.
Yes, indeed.
I'm sorry, Violin and Piano Sonata.
Memorable.
And the...
memorable piece.
Yes.
And memorable work relationship. I really loved working with you, and still do to this day. Okay, you two, we're going to take this on. The second movement now, marked Scherzo Allegro from the Horn Trio in E-flat, Opus 40 by Johannes Brahms. Kolya Plotchkov, the Associate Principal Horn of the Colorado Symphony and alum of our show, and Yumi Wang Williams, the Concertmaster of the Orchestra, joined me in the scherzo of the Brahms Horn Trio. That was a blast, but I'm glad we only played that movement, because if we played that scherzo that fast, the last movement would have to be twice as fast. Only dogs can hear those tempos. Yumi, you really relate to these kids on our show. You actually soloed with the Philadelphia Orchestra when you were only 15, is that right?
That's correct. Wow. And it was a real honor.
A real prodigy, of course. And many of the kids on the show want to play in a professional orchestra someday, but there's the whole question about how that becomes possible. Let's assume fabulous training at a conservatory is obligatory, but what's next? For you, Kolya, I guess it was the audition process here at the Colorado Symphony. Will you describe that?
Yes. First, when I attended Rice, actually I was also acting principal with the Austin Symphony, which was my first job while going to school. And then when I auditioned for the job here, there were three rounds, which is very standard, probably over 80 people, and in the final rounds also was screened. So I have to say thank you to the entire Colorado Symphony organization, because they run the auditions extremely fair, and I was the lucky one of the day, so I'm very honored to be here.
Kolya, you had a trial period, I guess, after you won the audition. How does that work?
After the audition, there's a 10-year process that goes on for about 2 years. And I guess it's a little bit like arranged marriage, because everybody in the orchestra obviously knows that you're a great player because you've been the winner of the audition. However, you know, we're all, when you get to the level of professional musicians who are this caliber, personalities can be... There could be some clashes of personalities, just like in marriages, I think. Mm-hmm. And so I think that I have to say big thank you to a few principal players in the orchestra here who took me under their wing, such as the principal horn, Michael Thornton, the principal trumpet, Justin Bertels, Greg Harper also in the brass section has been tremendous help. I don't want to miss anybody out, so just want to say a huge thank you, and thank you to all the Colorado Symphony for accepting me, and now I'm a member of the orchestra, so.
Well, and you remember to bring your horn, so, I mean, you know, everything's fine. No, but it really is a very important part of the process, figuring out whether you all get along.
I told them if there's music in a horn, I'll probably be okay.
That's right, exactly. That gets around to how amazing this kind of human endeavor is. 85 to 100 people doing the same thing with incredible unity. What does it take to play in an orchestra at this level, Yumi? I mean, is it diplomacy? Is it psychology? What goes into it?
Well, you always want to play your best, but it's more than just playing your best. You have to have big ears. You have to have, I would say, at least 30% of your brain left over at all times so that you're really listening and paying attention to all the details, the conductor, your colleagues, many, many moving parts in an orchestra. You have to have what's called sort of orchestra sense, kind of compared to court sense of basketball players. You know, they always know where the ball is.
Right. Like a multicellular organism.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, it's been a thrill being with the Colorado Symphony. And when we found out that you, Kolya, were in the orchestra and we'd have a chance to reconnect, and it's just an amazing thing to play with you again.
Pleasure playing
and,
with you, Chris.
And to be so proud of your accomplishments and
thank you.
What you give to this orchestra and what they give back to you. Thank you for
thank
being
you
with
very
us
much.
Again. And
you
mean
thank you.
As well. Thank you. Kolya Plotchkov, an alum of our show, now Associate Principal Horn of the Colorado Symphony and the Concertmaster of the Orchestra, Yumi Wang Williams.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.org. Over the last 5 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded well over $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Our final guest of the day is Brian Dunnewald. Brian is 17 years old from Arvada, Colorado, and studying now at the Interlochen Arts Academy in Michigan. Brian's here to play the organ for the fabulous final movement of the Saint-Saëns Organ Symphony, the Symphony No. 3. Please welcome him. Brian, this is an amazingly exciting work, but you're excited about more than just the music. Today is a big first for you.
Yeah, it's my first time playing with an orchestra.
Any orchestra? My gosh, fantastic. Yeah. And it's got to be particularly amazing as a Denver kid to be playing with this amazing orchestra. You must know the orchestra from childhood.
Right. I've been coming to listen to CSO for a while, and it's a real honor to be able to play with them. I honestly never thought I'd be doing it this early.
It's high time, I think.
Yeah.
Now, you not only play the organ here in Colorado, you travel all over to play other instruments, don't you? I mean, every organ is different, I guess.
Right. Every organ ever made is different from the next. And so one of the great things about playing the organ is you get to go around and everything's new. And that builds musical ability and technical ability. Because when we perform, we have to play on a different instrument every time.
I hear that.
Yeah.
You're interested also in organ designs. And you're considering making your own organ design, or designing your own organ, is that right?
Yeah, if I have the money, I'd love to build my own. But right now, I've drawn up some sketches and things like that for organs that could be built with more precise drawings. And someday, I'd like to, in addition to performing, of course, get an internship or a job with an organ builder. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
My gosh, learning the instrument from under the hood. I love that.
Yeah,
I never learned how to tune a piano. I would have been so that much better. That's just bully for you. I mean, that's you could be a NASA scientist with the kind of design training you've been doing.
Yeah.
Your drawings are wonderfully detailed, and we've got some of them posted now at fromthetop.org so people can check them out. And this piece, the finale of the Saint-Saëns Organ Symphony, calls for what? Just about as mighty a sound as the organ can make. You're going to let us in on what stops you're going to use in the huge opening chord?
Just about everything this organ has.
Okay.
Quite horrendous.
Very good. We're all very excited to hear this. As we've been talking, the members of the Colorado Symphony have come back on stage, but we need our conductor. So please welcome back the resident conductor of the Colorado Symphony, Scott O'Neill. Scott, it's been a real thrill listening to rehearse this piece. It occurs to me that it might be as much fun to conduct as it is to listen to. Is that true?
Absolutely.
Gosh, what an event. Would you officially introduce the piece now?
This is the Saint-Saëns Symphony No. 3, also known as the Organ Symphony.
And we're going to hear the finale. Scott, thank you so much for helping out today. It's
been our pleasure.
A great honor and a pleasure.
Thank you.
And thanks to the outstanding musicians of the Colorado Symphony and also to all of our young performers. And thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Brian, Scott, and the Colorado Symphony, you can take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley and Tim Banker, with music producer Tom Vignieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Willett, with David Forbes and John Servies. Orchestra mix by Mike Pappas. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. Special thanks this week to Ken and Barbara Mervine for generously providing their 3-manual 46-rank Allen organ for this broadcast. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at gatesfoundation.org. From the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. And from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.
Thanks for downloading this week's From the Top podcast. If you liked what you heard, head over to our website, fromthetop.org, where you can listen to every show in its entirety. I'm Christopher O'Reilly. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again next week.